Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. What's been going on with you, Luca?
Oh man, just a lot of working and more working. I was on a work trip last week to Oklahoma. Yay. for a hospital that we're doing over there, and it was all week and it was a crap ton of work. I was so relieved there? When it came back. Say what?
So like, what were you doing while you were in Oklahoma?
Yeah, so they were the first rounds of CA meetings, DD meetings, sorry. Design development, if anyone doesn't know what that DD means. So design development meetings, and we were talking with all of the users through every single room in this hospital, every single piece of equipment, circulation, and if they had issues with rooms, and then we had to tell them that we had to add an extra elevator for this and that, and we had to shift some things, and yeah, it's a lot. And then Glenn and I, coworker of mine and I, we actually got to walk one of the pharmacies that they have. But it was a good time over. I mean, for me, it was a good time at least. It was very stressful with my coworkers. And it was literally work. I mean, we worked, I think that week, so leading up to that, I worked 2 weeks in a row for 60 hours. I might have talked about that last podcast.
Yeah.
And then we literally got up at 7 and we never got back to our hotel till like, I want to say 7:30, 8-ish. And that was every day.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I was very happy when I got back. And then I got to, wait, did I mention that I have a cat?
You did. We talked about that last week.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, yeah. I came back and I have Chewy and everything was better. But I mean, this work week was a little bit more quote unquote chill, but not really, because now we're implementing all the red marks. But that's my life. Oh, and tomorrow I'm being put under sedation.
For what?
I mean, I guess I shouldn't have really said that, because now I have to say for what. But
yeah. You getting like wisdom teeth pulled or something? Because I got to do that soon. I had a dentist appointment today.
Oh, you had one today?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. Did they tell you like you got to get these out now, bro? You're getting old.
Bro, it was the wildest dentist appointment. I'm still like very curious what your thing is for. Don't think I'm gonna let that go.
I can text you later.
All right, but no, the dentist was like looking at my X-rays and talking about my wisdom teeth because they're like sideways, and I've known this for years. It's been a problem. I've just never gotten around to getting them taken out. He was like, "Yeah, you should really get those taken out." And then he's like started talking to me about like he thinks that I might have sleep apnea and said that I should get tested.
What?
He was like, "Bro, you have like a really big tongue and your tonsils are kind of big. And I just feel like you have a really small airway." And I was like, okay.
What? Hello? That's be the funniest shit I've ever heard. Wow. Are you going to get that checked out?
I don't know, man. I don't think it's that big of a problem. I'm not like not breathing in my sleep.
Yeah. I mean, you sleep well, right?
I feel like I do.
Yeah. I mean, you have enough energy to walk, so you're good.
I sent you a picture. My washer just went off and it plays a stupid little song at the end of the cycle. And I could see on my recording that like the exact notes that it played, it literally looked like sheet music.
I literally just saw it. Yeah. Like done. I wish I would have like looked closer and like, you know, saved it. I could have probably sung it back to you knowing the starting pitch. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, yeah, no, it's not for my wisdom teeth, but I'm actually getting those out literally tomorrow in a month. So,
oh really?
Maybe. Yeah. So maybe we can be wisdom teeth buddies.
Yeah.
Do it. Oh my god, that'd be hilarious. We could like FaceTime each other. Like, no, dude. Whoa. Oh man.
But bro, yeah, I need to go like make an appointment with the oral surgeon and like see when I can fit into a schedule.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. They can do it pretty fast.
Yeah,
but yeah, you should probably do that as soon as possible to get a good time in. Yep. AKA the 22nd of next month.
All right.
But
so Luca, what movie are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That is correct.
Yeah, I guessed right. What can I say?
How do you know?
I don't know.
This movie came out in 2014, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. And we don't need a Marvel Minute this week because there was no movies in between Thor the Dark World and this one.
Boom. Let's go.
Yeah. This film here had an estimated budget of $170 million.
Oh.
And they made $714 million.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's way more than I thought this movie would make. But I mean, I guess it followed the first Captain America, so everyone was like, oh my God, Captain America.
They made over $95 million just opening weekend in US and Canada.
Holy, that's crazy. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we can already go into like what we thought of the film personally, but yeah, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I know at the very end, I was like, I know I'd seen this before. And like, I had the feeling as if I'd seen it before. But let me tell you, like the first 3/4 of the movie, I'd seen it the first time. So it was perfect. I enjoyed it. I really did. I think the plot was good. The timeline was good. I don't think there was anything like super corny in it. Well, maybe here and there were some things where you're like, yeah, you know, but overall, like, I think it was a good plot line and it kind of like, it sucked you in into the character development and all that stuff. What about you?
This is one of my favorite Marvel movies. I like how grounded it is. I think sometimes Marvel can get a little big. Like everything's I guess like stakes wise, this was still pretty big because it was like, yeah, we're going to murder 20 million people. But it wasn't like big, flashy aliens and laser beams. It was just like, here's some spies with guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. There was nothing like too crazy that you couldn't wrap your head around it. And you just kind of have to accept it. It was very, like you said, very grounded.
Let us step into the boxing ring.
Okay. Let me.
Do you want to go first?
You went first last time. Yeah, yeah. So let me get my head straight here because I know I'm not going to hit all of like these fancy words and points that you do, but it is what it is. Okay. Captain America. I don't know how to start it. Hold up. Captain America, period. Done. No. Captain America, having thought that all of his troubles were over, was taken back when a close friend of his was attacked by an enemy that came from the inside, having to trust very few people. Captain America found out that the Nazi order was growing from inside his organization and had to deplete their plan. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say after Nick Fury is attacked by a mysterious assassin, Captain America must go on the run to discover the assailant's identity and along the way must decide who to trust. I'm going to stick with that.
All right. That was good. Now let's see what the OG says.
All right. It says, after the cataclysmic events in New York with the Avengers, Steve Rogers, aka Captain America, is living quietly in Washington, D.C. and trying to adjust to the modern world. But when a S.H.I.E.L.D. colleague comes under attack, Steve becomes embroiled in a web of intrigue that threatens to put the world at risk. Joining forces with the Black Widow, Captain America struggles to expose the ever-widening conspiracy while fighting off professional assassins sent to silence him at every turn. When the full scope of the villainous plot is revealed, Captain America and Black Widow enlist the help of a new ally, the Falcon. However, they soon find themselves up against an unexpected and formidable enemy, the Winter Soldier. That was a fucking long ass description.
Wow. That was very long.
I don't even know how to like look at that.
Well, the way I see it is they never named Nick Fury because I think they wanted that to be kept under wraps.
Yeah. It did say a S.H.I.E.L.D. colleague comes under attack.
Right. Yeah. So like kind of like a buddy.
Yeah.
They named the Winter Soldier, but I don't think you or I said that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm honestly surprised neither of us said that.
Yeah, kind of fucking L. Literally the title.
Didn't mention Falcon or Black Widow.
No, we both talked about the... Well, actually, did you ever mention the enemy, like the organization? Or did you just say like one person?
I said an assassin.
Yeah, I mean, none of us are very much on point, but... I
think this is another one we're going to have to leave up to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a tough one.
Yeah.
Let us know who won.
Yeah. We'll leave it for a tie right now until someone breaks it, and then we can announce it at one point. But good. I mean, you know, I feel like that one was very long-winded compared to the other ones that we had like heard of, and it was very... I feel like that one focused very much so on like the beginning storyline versus like the whole movie. I don't know how to explain it, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will come back and talk more in depth. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, my first thing that I had listed is, first of all, I just like this. I want to say this movie overall is like back to back, like just iconic sequences. I feel like every single time the scene changed, I was like, oh my God, I remember this scene and it's amazing.
Yeah. But, so why do you think it was so iconic per scene change?
Just like all of the scenes are like very... memorable, and I feel like it's just a mixture of like the storytelling was good, the choreography was amazing, I thought like the dialogue even was like very solid. It just felt like there wasn't a whole lot lacking in this movie, in my opinion.
I honestly would agree with you. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to see where you came from. I feel like every scene had a good point, every scene was worthwhile to be watching. And I do kind of think that I feel like if you would have missed maybe even a minute of the movie, something cool or something important would have gone by.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like every single scene is like, whoa.
Like, whoa, dude.
Like, whoa, dude.
That was sick. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And backing off of that, let's just start with one of their bigger entrances, which is that opening boat scene,
right?
Where Captain America literally jumps out of their ship, and then they're like, wait, was he wearing a parachute? And they were like, haha, no. And I was like, oh shit, Captain America. I thought that was really cool. I thought the whole thing was really cool, the way they fought, the way they like, he was the first one on the ship, and then like he like, you know, beat basically every single one of them up except maybe one guy, and then his teammate came down and quote unquote saved him, but he really didn't need saving. I thought that was just very good, very good.
Yeah, and he's just running around the boat kicking ass.
Yeah, yeah. And then the plot twist at the end where it was like, oh, you're really there only for the USB. Like, oh, you know?
Yeah, there was like two, Captain America's mission and Black Widow's mission were different missions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was very not happy that he didn't know. He was very upset.
Yeah, yeah. But that's another thing that I really like about this movie is you remember like in the first Captain America movie, he was like very respect the chain of command and yes, sir, and like go America stuff. But like in this movie, you really sort of start to see him like lose trust in the government.
Yeah, you do.
This movie is a very big change in his character.
Yeah, I think he finally realizes that not everyone is a good person.
Yeah.
You can't trust even the ones that you think are under your flag.
I really liked the little not so serious moment, but in the beginning when they're running, he's running around DC and he meets Sam Wilson. At one point he pulls out like a little notebook that has like all of the stuff that he's missed since he was frozen.
Yeah.
It's like his catch-up list.
Yes, yes, yes. And he asked him to put the song on there by Marvin Gaye, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was even a whole album.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was fun.
Yeah, I agree. He was like, okay, well, I'll put that on my list. I didn't really read what other things he had on the list, but I'm pretty sure it would have been funny to write down and look at.
I think Star Wars was on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Anyway, The one I will say the my minor problem that I had was I feel like there were a lot of moments in this movie where the music was just really aggressive. Like,
really? I don't know.
I don't know if it's just like maybe the way that the audio is mixed on Disney Plus or something, but I feel like when people were talking, I had to like turn the volume up. And then whenever there was an action scene, the music was like so loud. And so I was just like the whole movie turning the volume up and down because it was like action scene, music got way too loud. Dialogue scene, everyone's talking real quiet.
Really? I didn't even notice that. And I feel like I would. Huh. I did not have that issue. I watched the whole movie without even really thinking about my audio, quite honestly. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it wasn't the whole time. It was just like a few, like the boat scene in the beginning. There was like, sometimes the music was just too loud. And like some of the action scenes towards the end as well.
Mm, I got you. But sometimes you want it loud, you know?
Yeah. There was one other thing that I noticed while during the ship infiltration. There's a scene where Cap throws his shield through a window and it like knocks a guy across the head and then lodges itself in a metal wall.
Yes.
And I was just like, bro, if he threw that thing hard enough to get stuck in a metal wall, it would have taken that guy's head off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Decapitated that man's.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's see.
But obviously, that would be a little graphic.
A little bit. I think this movie, it barely showed any blood.
Yeah, even right? Like there was a similar moment I noticed. Because remember in the first movie, there's a scene where he knocks a guy into some plane propellers and he just like turns into a big thing of red mist. And there is a similar scene in this one where the Winter Soldier kicks a guy into a jet engine and it just like kind of explodes. And so there's not, you like don't see any bloody bits there.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. Whenever I don't see bloody bits, right? It for me, it takes away a little bit from the movie. Like for me, I feel like it's almost gotten too rated G. I don't see like the reason to show like the audience like, yeah, this man just got hit in the face and he is going to have a nosebleed. He's going to have a red cheek, right? Like here, it's like Captain America gets domed in the face by a car and then he's like still looks perfect with perfect makeup on and like perfect eyeliner and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Like even his enemies that he was fighting, like the Winter Soldier at one point got decked in the face by something and he was just chilling, you know?
Yeah, that was another thing that I had noticed later on. There's a scene where a building collapses on top of them. And then when they crawl out of the rubble, they show up at Sam Wilson's house and they literally look like absolute perfect coiffed hair and makeup. And they just have like some soot on them.
Yeah.
Like not even like, bruised or anything.
Hello? I mean, how much fake can you go? I don't know. I just feel like it takes away. And people in the audience might disagree. But I feel like even me as a, let's say, 14, 13 year old kid understood and watched movies where people, you know, had blood on them just because they were fighting. And that's how life works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It doesn't need to be like excessive blood, but yeah.
Yeah, just like a little bit. Like you can make it to where like you get punched in the face and then you like use your sleeve to like wipe it off. And like you have a little bit of like red wiping on your face like that. It just has to be that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus like literally nothing. Like no one in the whole movie ever had blood. Like even at the end, I will jump to the very end where the Winter Soldier was pinned under that giant metal brace and Captain America lifted off of him. No blood, nothing.
Yeah. There was like when Black Widow got shot, there was blood there. And there was a few times in this movie where people got shot and you could see blood through their clothes.
That's true. Yeah, but that's like, yeah, I mean, that's fair, but that's like very minimal. You could definitely do better than that, especially if you're like doing a lot of hand-on-hand combat, you know, that's just one thing. It is what it is.
True. I feel like it didn't bother me quite as much just because the actual fighting was so good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I wasn't really paying attention to the lack of blood just because I was like, oh my God, wow. Like these people are like beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, the only one I noticed that on and like then it caught my attention was when they were on the bridge fighting each other and there was nothing. And I was like, okay, yeah. Well, I wish there was, because the choreo, like you said, was so good. Their choreo was fantastic, like jumping behind cars and jumping off of bridges and using like gadgets to grapple hook yourself back up. I mean, it was well done. Don't get me wrong.
Especially like the during the highway fight. At one point, Winter Soldier like does this cool knife flip in the middle of punching and kicking.
Yes. Bro,
sick.
Yes, yes, yes. Dude, the Winter Soldier did a really good job, I think, throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, and this is just me, I don't know if in my mind he was the right actor for it. That makes sense.
Okay.
But he did a good job.
What would you say was not the right actor about him?
I think that like his face and his like complexion that he carried around didn't fit a brainwashed super soldier from like World War II. I don't know. I just don't see. Maybe it was the fact that he just didn't look evil enough to me, or that he wasn't like rugged enough. Maybe that's what
nagged me. You don't want him to look too evil, because obviously he has to have like the redemption at the end.
Yeah, but like, okay, maybe rugged is the right word to use, because he was being mistreated the whole time. Like they were brainwashing him, they were telling him orders, they were punching him in the face, and then he walks out there like as if he's the leader of this group, but in reality he's like their puppet, and they weren't even taking care of him.
Yeah,
so I think to me, it's like it was kind of like backwards that he looked so clean and well kempt, and I don't know. Yeah,
the way I was interpreting that is just like
his face just wasn't rugged enough. Maybe it was that he didn't have a beard.
Puppet, but he's like he's a, like for show. They treat him shitty, but like because he is their best soldier, like out in the field when you're just like with all of the other random gunmen, he's in charge of them.
Oh, right, right.
But like the top dogs that like don't go out and fight themselves, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe, I mean, think of this. Would he have looked more badass if he had a beard?
I don't think so, because also it makes sense they would keep him at least slightly shaven so that he can wear a mask.
That's true. But I wish, I don't know, I feel like they could have done like a cool, like, I don't know, yeah, that's true. He did look pretty badass with the mask on. But I just wish, I don't know, something about
him. He popped off the mask and then all of a sudden 2-foot beard pops out.
Yeah, dude, it like rolls out.
He's got it like braided.
Yeah, dude, like imagine, that'd be so badass. Like they could have like made him look, and also like his hairdo, he just looked too well kempt to me. I don't know, he just looked so gentleman-like.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know. Yeah.
Another negative that I had. I know we've been kind of focusing on negatives, but once we get past them, we got some good shit to talk about.
Fair.
But when Steve goes to visit Peggy and she is like old and like in the hospital and whatever, I felt like the old ladiness just like did not work for me.
Wait, when? Oh, no, I totally agree. Yeah. I think it was something with like her face makeup.
Well, yeah, and I that's what I thought at first too, and then I like looked it up, and apparently it wasn't even makeup.
It was just they, actually like, an old person?
No, what they did is they shot the scene with Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, and she just like did it like normal. And then they brought in an actual old woman, and then she did the performance, and then they like used CG to like meld the old lady's face with Haley Atwell's face.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the best call.
I don't know. Apparently they tried it with makeup and it just like wasn't working.
It was even worse. Yeah, I don't know about that. That was one of those scenes where I was like, huh, interesting, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk some good shit.
Yeah, let's go for it.
The fucking SUV attack, chef's kiss. Dude,
yes. Oh my God. That whole thing from start to end was like sitting on the edge of your seat kind of shit.
I know. Yeah. I don't know if glass exists that is that
strong,
like shatterproof, because they like had machine guns all over it and they hit it like 4 or 5 times with a hydraulic battering ram.
Yeah.
I'm like, I honestly don't know. Maybe there's like some super high tech military glass that could do that, but that shit's wild.
Yeah. And then like that computer was like, you have 3% durability left or something like that. And I was like, oh, yeah. Shit.
And then the fucking like machine gun pops out of the center console.
Yeah. Bruh. The fucking turret pops up and he just blasts everyone, which is funny because like, so we only one of the windows broke, but when he was shooting, like, I feel like he had very much so he was shooting through his front windshield and his side and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, they made sure not to shoot it from a wide angle so you couldn't really like see, because obviously from the outside, like the people were lined up in a wider circle than the angle of his window. But he also like shot some people as he was driving away. So that helps, too.
True.
But those are little things. The scene was great. And he's like freaking gets like his arm is broken from the car crash because they like completely pin him in. And then, well, the freaking computer starts driving. He's like, give me the wheel, and like starts swerving in and out of the streets. And then freaking when the Winter Soldier shows up and like throws that bomb under the SUV and completely flips it and then just like casually steps to the side. I was like,
yep. That was amazingly done. Yeah. And then like one of the things that also caught me off guard, which I still don't understand really, is that device that he used to bore through the earth.
Yeah.
And they use it twice and I never got an explanation for what it is.
I think it's just like a really high powered laser.
Okay. And where does it go?
Well, I'd imagine he just like burrowed into like a underground like sewage system or something. Cause you know, usually like the, or maybe there's a subway system. I don't, cause yeah, I guess they're in New York or no, they're in DC. There's a subway in DC though.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe, yeah. Once he gets below the street, it's probably open down there.
Interesting. I mean, I get that, dude. Imagine how cool of a scene it would have been to see like an underworld, like sewage fight between two like super people. That would have been sick, but they sadly didn't go for it. It is okay though.
And then, like I said, back to back awesome scenes, because literally like almost right after the freaking SUV attack, there was the freaking elevator fight.
Oh yeah, dude, the elevator fight.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I love the build up for it too. Like I feel like, like I almost think that the build up lasted as long as the fight scene.
Oh yeah, he like is like just normally on the elevator. It stops, a few people get in, they go down to another floor, some more people get in, go down to another floor. It's like four different stops and his elevator is like packed with people.
Yeah. And at the very end, like these two giant buff dudes walk in, you're like, "Oh shit."
And he can like see that like some people are like sweating and they've like got their hand on their baton and he's just like, oh shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we wouldn't have noticed that, but Captain, you know, the camera like followed Captain America's eyes over to like this guy's forehead where like one drip of sweat came down. Yeah. And that was like enough for Captain America to know that shit was about to get real.
And everyone was looking real sketchy. They were just like standing around, not really talking.
Yeah, they knew shit was about to go down and they're about to fight literally the strongest person probably in the world.
Yeah. He was like, before we get started, does anyone want to get off?
Yeah. Oh, it was so awesome. And then he had to like, he couldn't get off of the elevator like the normal way people would. So he just like bashed out a window and jumped out of it. Like how many floors down, you know? Like,
insane.
Unreal.
But yeah, I just like that scene. I remember watching there's a YouTube series where they talk about like different movie stunts, and they had on the show, they had one of the stunt people that was in that elevator scene.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of stuff for Marvel. I think he also did some stunts for Black Panther and some one of the other superheroes as well, but yeah, he was in the elevator scene and he was just talking about how much fun it was.
I bet. I mean, that was probably hilariously fun to film.
Yeah.
And then I also like the shot where like at the very end, like all of them are laying on the ground and he just kind of like looks down. He's like, yep, I did that.
Yep.
That was really cool. Let's see.
I really liked all of the stuff between I felt like they spent a good amount of time exploring the relationship between Steve and Natasha, like them being like rogue secret agents together and like trying to hide. And I feel like every conversation they had was like, it felt real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any conversation in this movie was forced except for that old person scene, quote unquote old. Yeah. I really enjoyed all of the vehicles that they used in the movie. Like when Captain America was escaping from, I think it was from their headquarters. Like he got on like that motorcycle, right?
Yep.
And then he had to like ramp off like the plane and jam his shield into the propeller of the jet and all that jazz. I think all of it fit very well. And I feel like that motorcycle was a bow down to, or a nod to like the previous World War movies where they had like the, you know, the old motorcycles and that kind of style. Yeah.
They even showed him when he was in the Smithsonian, they had like a whole exhibit about Captain America and he was walking through and you even see him like stand there staring at his World War II motorcycle for a while.
Yes, dude. One of my notes was that I love the history scene exhibit.
Yeah.
I thought the beginning and the end, well, that is very much the end, but I think the beginning, like when he walked in and the kid was like staring at him and he was like, shh, don't tell anyone. Like, I know it's me.
Yeah.
And then he was like reading his own stuff and like,
and the outfits this time, like super cool. Because he had the stealth outfit in the beginning on the ship that was like, everything was very muted colors. Like even his shield was like kind of grayish. And then for a lot of the movie, he was even just like in civilian clothes. He just had like a t-shirt and a flannel.
Yeah, just super casual. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end, he goes and gets his World War II outfit, which we had talked about in the first Captain America movie, is like also a really cool outfit. And how I like in contrast how we were talking about with the Avengers, like his Avengers costume was just a little too colorful. Yeah. And I think out of all of the different outfits that he wore in this movie, they were all they were tough looking.
Mm.
It wasn't like cartoony.
Do you think it was an issue that he went with? I mean, I understand why he went with his old costume, right? But do you think it may have been an issue as to some of the reasons that he was hurt because it just didn't have like that armor?
I mean, it's definitely not as high tech of an outfit, and I'm honestly surprised that it did anything, because it's like clothing doesn't last forever, even if you like try and preserve it. Like
true. That
fabric is old.
Exactly. Yeah, true. Very true. I just think that was one of the big parts where I was like, he could have updated that a little bit, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Did you think, I know obviously, like you said, we've both seen this before, but do you remember, I think the first time I saw it, I like legit thought that Nick Fury had died. Like it totally caught me off guard when he came back.
I think the first time I watched it, that happened.
Yeah.
But this time I had kind of an inkling that like he wasn't going to die because like, I thought it was like a bigger plan that Nick Fury was cooking up, because I feel like he died too easily in my mind.
I mean, he got beat up and then also shot in the back. So,
yeah. Yeah. But I also think that like Nick Fury is smarter than that. I feel like for him, I don't know. I think he, I don't want to say like, because it was the Winter Soldier that shot him. Yeah. So I guess he couldn't have planned it. But I don't know. I always had a thought this time around that he was going to come back. But the first time, I definitely thought he was dead.
Yeah. And he makes a reference to, I don't remember what the chemical is called, but he like used some sort of drug to slow his heart rate down so that he looked dead.
Yes. Yes. In the doctor's room.
Yeah. And he said that Bruce Banner had created it.
Said.
Oh, nice.
I wrote that down. Yeah. I was like, I said, he alive. Wow. Tetratoxin B.
But yeah, he said Bruce Banner developed it to try and prevent himself from turning into the Hulk, but it didn't work.
Wait, say that again?
Nick Fury said that Bruce Banner developed that toxin to slow his heart rate down. Because remember, we were talking before about like the heart rate increase is what turns him into the Hulk.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. The slowing of the heart rate has actually been a thing in real life too. Like that's a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a drug that can slow it to one beat per minute. Well, I feel like you would die if your heart rate was that slow.
Yeah. But I don't think that, but there's definitely a toxin out there that can like slow your heart rate down a lot to make it like seem like you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, they have, because like obviously if you're in a hospital and your heart is beating too fast, like they need to slow it down.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, no, wait. What were you going to talk about? Where are you in the movie?
When they go back to Steve's old military base.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly what my next thing was. Bring back his first base, dude. Literally. Oh, dude. I love that throwback.
Yeah.
I love that. And then he was like looking around like, oh, like weird. Like there's nothing here. And then he's like, wait, according to military rule and jurisdictions, you can't have a building this close to the barracks. Like, I was like, that is something only Captain America would say.
Yeah, he was paying attention in military school.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But yeah, they go down in this like bunker and there's just like rows and rows of those old like tape reel computers.
Yes. Yep. And then she was like, oh, there's nothing like high tech enough in here. We're in the wrong spot.
Just like a weird little USB thing.
Yeah, she's like this nice like new school like USB port. And she was like, well, never mind. And then
it turns out Dr. Zola is still alive, kind of
partially. How though?
Apparently, I think he said that after the war he had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and because it was late 1940s, 1950s or whatever, medicine was not advanced enough to save him, but they were somehow able to upload his consciousness onto a computer.
Yeah.
But obviously because it was still super old computers, he needed this like giant warehouse full of computers to have enough room.
Literally the whole base. Yeah. Underground.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that part was amazing. And then it came to like the betrayal. Basically, he was only there to hold them long enough for one of the missiles to come in and kill them.
Yeah.
And of course, Captain America found a way out of it. But at that moment, like, I was
they jumped in a hole and then covered them both up with his shield.
Yeah. And we can talk about that here in a second. But I just want to say quickly that he committed suicide there just for that cause.
Yeah, I mean, he probably didn't care. He's probably been sitting in that room for at least 50 years.
That is very true. Yeah, that's true.
At some point, well, you're just like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, that's fair. I just wanted to say that you realize that they had to take an elevator down, and then it is a military bunker that is made to like easily take missiles. And somehow everything broke, everything got destroyed, blew up immediately. And then the next thing you know, they climbed all the way out of that through the rubble.
Yeah, they must have climbed a long way up.
Like a long way up.
Yeah. I can understand the bunker not being strong enough, because it seemed like it was a pretty old bunker, and obviously missile technology has like way advanced since then. And so like there are definitely missiles that can just penetrate right through a bunch of concrete and shit.
That's true. But that far down, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I thought that was a really cool scene with the evil scientist computer, and then the missile came, and then
Yeah.
And at what point do we find out that they're there to kill millions of people?
So
like that's their goal.
Nick Fury talks about, because after when Steve gets mad at him for not telling him about the information on the ship, Nick Fury takes him down to see something called Project Insight. And they have these three giant helicarriers that are just like covered with guns, and he's basically like, with these here we can like surveil the entire planet and we can wipe out threats before they even happen. And Steve's like, I thought the punishment was supposed to come after the crime.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking tell him, bruh.
That's true. And he was like, well, we have this algorithm to where we don't even like, we know that they're gonna be bad before it happens.
Yeah.
Or fight their cause, you know, good, I guess, technically.
Yeah. And yeah, it like that was even more like through Steve, like really the opposite direction of go team kind of a guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so they already have this technology. And then once they talk to Dr. Zola, he reveals to them that Hydra has been working inside of S.H.I.E.L.D. since World War II, and they've just been slowly growing, and now they pretty much own everything, and they're going to use Project Insight to just like wipe out anyone who could stand in their way.
Yeah, which is kind of mind-blowing for me to like believe that Hydra, like their number one enemy all of a sudden after what, 50 years, has infiltrated the whole thing. I don't know. That's tough, but
you just gotta be good at keeping secrets.
That's true. But like, how do you trust the people that you spread them to, you know? Like, do you really think over 50 years, like everyone changed in that whole?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like at some point someone would have been like, yeah, I love Hydra. And then like 10 minutes later, like, psst, these guys are Hydra.
Yeah.
But also, you never know, because like if someone tried to rat on them, what if the person they're telling is also a Hydra agent?
Yeah, exactly. Just killed them? True.
So maybe it's just like the fear.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, ruling by fear is how all the leaders, the bad leaders, do it. So
yeah,
let's see.
I also have written down here, Maria Hill is a boss ass bitch. The same note that I left on the Avengers, because she is.
Yep.
When they after the highway fight, Steve and Natasha and Sam end up getting captured, and they're like about to get executed in the middle of the street, but then the bad guys see there's like a news chopper like filming them, and they're like, no, not here. And so they like take them away, but then while they're in the transport vehicle, Maria Hill is disguised as one of the guards and takes out the other guard, and then they, like you said, they use the weird little laser thing to escape out the bottom of the truck.
Yep. Big mistake. Should have shot them when you had the chance.
Yeah. But she's just like, she's cool. She's a cool person.
Oh, you got a celebrity crush on her?
Not so much on Kobe Smulders. Like, she's cool and pretty and a good actor, but it's just the character of Maria Hill I have a crush on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a good character for sure. Let's see. I'll just jump to this part where I guess all of the ships that they sent up, what we just talked about, that they were going to go kill millions of people. They were sent up, and to get around that, they had to basically change out some of the programming hardware, I'm guessing, that's in like the core of the ship.
Yeah, that didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I feel like, because they're like targeting chips, they said, and they were like, oh, you have to switch out their targeting chip for our targeting chip. But I'm like, well, but why do you have to change it out? Like, wouldn't removing it be enough? Like, if you take out the targeting chips, how are they going to target anyone?
That's true. I don't know.
So I don't really know why they had to replace them, but
good point. I mean, maybe it could still work with the other ones. Just they had to put theirs in theirs so that it like neutralized them, or so that they could control them from afar.
Well, I know the good guy targeting chips is what made them like, because at the end of the ships end up targeting each other.
Yeah.
And so that probably wouldn't have happened, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was my next point. The targeting of each other was so fucking cool. It was a throwback to like medieval pirate times, when like the pirates
were watching ships fire on each other. That's exactly what I was thinking while I was watching. I was like, bro, this is literally like a naval battle.
Exactly, like they would line up and just like fucking go at it and hope they don't sink, kind of thing. I thought those ships really got cool
wrecked
scene. Yeah, destroyed. I think that was definitely,
I didn't think it was
one of my favorite scenes,
like kind of dumb luck that Bucky and Cap just happened to be on the one ship that didn't immediately fall out of the sky.
Yeah. And then it also kind of fell in like a safe way.
Yeah, the first two like fell directly into the river, and then the third one like went and crashed into the building and then swerved back into the river. Yeah. It was just like, how coincidental that it didn't like just land on the city and crush a bunch of people.
right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. And then of course, like, neither of them really died. And then it was cool though that the Winter Soldier came, because Captain America was drowning, and then Captain America repeated the words that the Winter Soldier had way back in the day said to him, and then he like saved him, but then like walked away. So I don't really know. I guess they kind of left the Winter Soldier as like a question mark.
Did you watch the end credit scenes on this one?
I did, yeah. And I mentioned earlier, like, that in the beginning and the end, they went to go to the museum to see the story.
Yeah.
And the second scene, the second credit scene that we saw was Bucky having gone to the museum to look at the story. But
yeah, because there was a little section specifically about him, and they were like, oh yeah, he was Steve Rogers' best friend and he was the only one that died. And you can see him like reading all that stuff. And he's like,
Yeah, but that, like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
He's learning. He's learning about who he really was. I don't know. You'll have to keep watching to find out.
Is there another one? I mean, I'm sure there is.
Another Captain America? Or I was like, there's definitely more Marvel movies.
No, Captain America, Captain America.
Yeah, there is a third Captain America movie.
Is there a fourth?
Not yet.
Do you think there's going to be?
Yes. Yes, there will.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, I'll have to watch that one at one point. Unless I already have and I just forgot, but I don't know.
Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, at one point. But I also want to say the interview at the end with what's her name in the movie?
Who?
She got in trouble with the government because she released all the secrets and stuff.
Natasha Romanoff.
Yeah, Natasha. When she gave that interview at the end and she was like, well, you can't arrest me. I was like, oh shit. I wrote on here boss ass bitch because that interview went very well for her. She was like, we're the only defense you guys have. You can't arrest us.
She's like, listen, throw me in jail if you want to, but you'll know where to find me when you need me.
Exactly, exactly. And then she walked the fuck out of there. She was like, later. Dipped. I respect it.
Yeah, pretty dope. Love this movie.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Oh,
let's talk about the first scene after the finish of the movie, though, where they started showing like superhumans and twins that had superpowers.
Yeah. We see Strucker, I believe his name is, and he's like walking through this facility and they're talking about like, oh yeah, Hydra's doing a bunch of stuff. And he's like, yeah, Hydra's not important anymore. They don't know the power that we have. And then it shows they have the not spear. What's the name for
Staff?
Staff. That's probably a better word for it. But yeah, or scepter. That's the word I was looking for.
Sure. Answer.
They have Loki's scepter from Avengers that has the that little blue crystal in it.
Yeah,
which is the Mind Stone.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a problem in the future. I can already see it.
And they're like, well, what are we going to do with the survivors? And he's like, you mean the twins? And then it shows and there's like two people there and there's like a girl making some blocks float and then another dude zipping around the room like a speedster.
Yeah, all of that was kind of crazy to me. I don't know if I would have wanted it in that movie, like after it was so sane and grounded, like we've been saying. Then the credit scene comes and it's like, oh yeah, humans with superpowers and twins that can make shit float and like the staff that's not from this world. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, well.
But what can you do? Can't have everything.
I mean, that's why it's in the end credit. Like, if you don't want to see it, just don't stay that long.
That's true. That is very true. Do you have any more notes? Good or bad?
I don't. I think this, like I said, this movie's great. I loved the storytelling, the choreography, the like filmography. The Russo brothers are good filmmakers.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. I think the filming and like the angles they took at the camera placements and like the scene changes were all just spot on.
Yeah. You ready to get into some trivia?
I am, dude. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
All right. Our first fact here is that towards the beginning of the movie, Nick Fury tells a story of his grandfather being an elevator operator. And in real life, Samuel L. Jackson's grandfather was, in fact, an elevator operator.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That came from his heart then.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Robert Redford, who played Alexander Pierce, who is the like the main CEO bad guy.
Yeah.
It says he wanted to do the film because his grandchildren were Marvel fans and he wanted them to see him in one.
Really? That's cute. Yeah. That's cute.
During the scene with Dr. Zola, Black Widow mentions Operation Paperclip, which is actually a real program from the Office of Strategic Services, in which over 1,500 Nazi scientists, technicians, and engineers were brought to the United States for employment after World War II.
I actually knew about that. Yeah, especially rocket scientists, because that's what they were going after.
Yeah.
At the time. That's crazy.
And so that's like the reasoning that they give for why Dr. Zola was in America because he got brought over as part of Operation Paperclip.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a good reasoning right there.
Yeah.
Could tie back to actual history.
The catch-up list that Captain America keeps with him actually changes depending on what country you watch the movie in.
To relate to the audience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says all of the versions list Thai food, Star Wars, Star Trek, Nirvana, Rocky, and Rocky 2.
Yeah.
And then it says the U.S. version lists I Love Lucy, the moon landing, the Berlin Wall going up and down, Steve Jobs, and disco.
Interesting.
The U.K. version lists the Beatles, Sir Sean Connery, and Sherlock.
Wow. That's fucking awesome.
The Australian version lists AC/DC, Space Travel, Steve Irwin, Skippy, and Tim Tams.
I don't know any of those things. Can't relate.
The French version lists the 1998 World Cup, The Fifth Element, and Daft Punk. Mm-hmm. And the South Korean version lists the Old Boy movie from 2003, Dance Dance Revolution, the 2002 World Cup, and soccer player Ji-sung Park.
Wow. Well, very, very specialized. I'm sure a lot of research went into those lists.
Yeah.
Because they're very specific.
Yeah.
Huh, that's cool. I wonder how they did that, though. Like, is it CGI, I guess? They could just change the notepad letters?
They just changed the notepad.
Wow.
With computer magic.
Computer magic, dude.
Yeah, that's what I got.
I love it. Those are really good. Those are like solid. I think the Samuel L. Jackson one got me the most. His grandfather actually was
pretty dope.
Yeah. Do we have any trash facts today, or are they just all solid? Because just like the movie.
Just like the movie. Solid facts all around.
All right. Well, can't have trash facts all the time, or else they'll get old.
Yep.
Perfect. Well.
All right. Well, for our audience, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com.
Just like that. Get it done.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.